The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this May 3rd, 2022. And tonight we have as our sentry in the engineer's booth, none other than Mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor.
And you have tonight your two very courageous and bold preachers, Pastor Joe Larson.
Good evening. I'm a pleasure to be here. This is a big night. We've got a lot to cover, don't we?
We certainly do, and yours truly, Pastor Ernie. So we're changing up tonight's scripture, folks, and pick it up tomorrow where we left off on legitimate government. But tonight we're going to deal with the killing, the murdering of our innocent children. And there's an extreme wickedness in our land, an extreme wickedness. And we're going to ask all of you to join in with us and as we do some imprecatory prayers. It is time for imprecatory prayers. You prissy preachers that say, well, Pastor Uni, he's so mean. No, listen. We believe, we love the things God loves and hate the things God hates, and we actually do believe the Word of God. So you prissy preachers, you need to get some courage, some honor, some integrity, and stand up like men, and quit dishonoring God with a lack of courage in your feminism. And so, with that, we're going to start, though, first, Joe. We have three men, Kevin Miller, a fellow named Rahaz, and Andre. Now, these three, Kevin is at home tonight. He's a member of Doors of the Word Church, and he's having labored breathing. Rahaz is a death row inmate, and he, too, called, and he's having a labored breathing. And now, Andre, he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and so let's start out by praying for those three. Why don't you go ahead and pray for Kevin Miller, and I'll pray for Rojas and Andre.
All right. Oh, dear Lord, we just come to you. You told us to bring everything to you in prayer, to bring you our concerns, and we know that the more people praying, the more powerful the prayer. So, Lord, in my heart, I just wish all those who can hear my voice would join me in prayer for Kevin. And that, Lord, you know what it is causing the labored breathing. And, Lord, if it be thy will, we would just ask you to give a miraculous healing, that you would just strengthen Kevin, that you would just give him a wonderful testimony. But we always ask, if it be thy will, you may choose to work through doctors and other things. We don't know, but Lord, we would hold him up and all those that love him and care about him, that are worried about him, you would comfort them and help them through this time. We ask these things in the precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, is Rojas, the Lord, I've known him for a long time. I was pastor for many, many years up on death row. And I know that he I was told that he got the kill shot, and I'm afraid, Lord, that I just want to hold him up. And Father God, I know you can overcome anything. And Lord, ask that you would just. Now, he has a profession of faith. We've discussed it many, many times. He says he's saved. And so, Lord, I would just ask, Father God, Lord, that you would touch him, heal him, bless him and heal him and give him blessings, all of the blessings you would have for him. And the same for Andre. Andre, I've known Andre for, I've known Andre for over 65 years. And I would just ask, Father God, Lord, that... Again, he's lived a very tough life. He's had a very hard life, a very, very hard life. And, Lord, I just would ask, Father God, Lord, that you would be with him at this time, Father. I know his mind is not what it used to be. It's not all clear anymore. And I know he's in a prison hospital. And I would ask, Father God, Lord, that you would intervene for him. Lord God, that you may touch him, you may heal him, and, Lord, that he might die a free man. A free man, Father God. Lord, not in that prison. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We're going to start tonight. Remember what we've always talked about when God gave us the divine institution of legitimate, real human government. Real human government. Not what we have. What we have in this country today is so perverted. It is so soiled. And you know, I just wish that we had more pastors. I praise the good Lord for those that we do have, that have the guts and the courage to stand up. And I praise the Lord, because there are a number of them. But the vast majority are afraid. They fear Caesar more than they fear God. And the reason for that is the vast majority in the pulpits are not saved. That's the long and short of it. They're simply not saved. And so I would just want to pray right now tonight, because of the wickedness in our land, the wickedness in our land out there, as we go into the Word of God. As you know, Joe, well, let me just, we'll pray after this. Let's go to the Scripture first. We're going to start tonight in Exodus. Well, actually, let's start in Genesis 9. We don't have to go there to read it. All right. I can just tell you. Verses 1 through 7, it makes it very clear. When God gave us the 5 points of divine human government, 5 points of divine human government. The very first one, to whom it was given. You find that in Genesis 9 through 15. The second point, the intent. The intent was God, or man, was to govern for God. Verses 1 through 4. Man was to govern for God. But the third point is the most important. This is the entire purpose. The entire purpose of divine human government, real government, legitimate government, was to preserve the image of God, that being man. That was the entire purpose. God said in 3 places there, in Genesis 1 through 3, or through 9, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. Our government is corrupted. It is filled from top down with corrupt people, wicked people, really ungodly and evil people. And they hate the very image of God. And the hypocrisy is astonishing. The hypocrisy is ultimate. I don't think there's a limit to the hypocrisy in this extremely corrupt government. And so here, as we look at that, this is where we get the statute of capital punishment in verses 5 through 7, that whoever transgresses God's dominion and destroys his image. God, remember, God gave man dominion over the environment, but kept dominion of man for himself. That man has to forfeit their life because they've destroyed the image of God. We have, again, a very, very wicked, very, very wicked, unclean, and an abominable bastard government in this country. And if the pastors could only find the integrity and the honor and the courage, if we could only get enough pastors that were saved to stand up like men and tell their people and lead their people, we could stop this, we could turn it around. We never would have come here had the pastors had the courage to be men, manly. They failed God.
Let me read verse 6 for everybody. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, and that includes women, children, babies, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, you can't really quibble with that.
There's no stuttering there.
No.
And if If you go over to Exodus 21 and read me verses 22 through 25, you'll find there's no stuttering there, too. The message there is the same for today. But go ahead.
If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished according as a woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe.
He's telling you very, very clearly that if that woman should die, get hurt and die, if mischief means that they will die, or if the baby dies,
yep.
then whoever was fighting with a husband, he has to forfeit his life.
Whoever hurt the woman with child. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Whoever hurt that woman with child will have to give up his life.
Right, absolutely. And so, I watch...
Abortion doctors, some preacher needs to tell every abortion doctor in the country those verses and read them to them, because I wonder how many really have ever heard the Word of God and realized what they're doing.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, it's like, you know, if it's like talking to a very, very fat, skinny person. You see here, Joe, there is no such thing as an abortion doctor. Let me explain this to you. Doctors, physician, abortionists kill babies. You see, that's where our opposition has beat our side to death. They've thrown out language of illusion, confusion, and delusion, and our side has picked it up. I don't use it. When people come on this radio program, if they use the word pro-choice, I'll give them a warning. If they use it a second time, they're off here. And in most cases, they're banned for life. I do not accept the language of illusion, confusion. There is no such thing as a pro-abortion doctor. These guys are animals. They're animals. See, they're baby, well, you know, baby molesters. If you take an old Webster's dictionary, and what do you look up the definition of rape in that old, do you know what the first definition is? To remove one from its place.
Ah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I looked it up. To remove one from its place or to sexually molest, okay? So what happens when you remove it, when you kill a child? You remove it
from its place.
That's right. So these are baby raping, child molesting. They're not, okay? They're animals. They're animals. Read the book of Jude. It calls them beasts.
Beasts.
Okay, and so here now, and again, we don't, you know, we have a position that we've had from day one, no compromise period. We are better than that. We are not going to give in. We're not going to be conformed to the world. We are not going to be conformed to the world. We will not use their language of illusion. We will have nothing to do. Light has no fellowship with darkness. So we're not going to be conformed to the world. We're not going to accept the things. And like a lot of the prissy preachers will say, well, I know it's wrong, but it's legal. Well, you coward, you worthless, you know, just unbelievable. And that they would be that way. No guts, no courage, no decency, no honor, no integrity.
Well, they have to know that we are to obey God rather than man. So if man's law says you can do it, God says thou shalt not, cannot, must not, will not, we better be obeying God and not listening to the idiots that make these laws that are anti-Christ.
Right. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24. Read me verses 9, or 10, 11, and 12. Verses 10, 11, and 12.
If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it?
and shall not he render to every man according to his works.
Now, Joe, just to simplify that, when you're standing before Almighty God, and he says, what were you doing when they were killing my children? What were you doing? The only acceptable answer is everything I could to stop it. Nothing else will do. Will suffice. And I know there's a lot of people out there that say, well, you know, personally, I could never do such a thing, but I'm not going to interfere with those that do. You're worthless. You know, first, God's word in the Bible says faith without works is worthless. It doesn't exist. It's dead.
Right, dead.
Okay.
Well,
and so,
thing, if you saw somebody beating a child to death, if you saw somebody, you know, trying to run over a child in the street with a car on purpose, if you saw somebody shooting at children on the playground and you did nothing to stop it, what would you say? Well, you know, I wouldn't do it, but, you know, I'm
well,
not
you know, you
somebody else for doing it.
Well, you can do that in Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, or New York. You can do it. It's not against the law. At least they don't prosecute it.
They never seem to find the people.
No. Okay. But anyhow, that's what we've come to today. So, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. In other words, if you don't stand up and act when the time has come, then you have no faith. Anyhow,
well,
now I want you to...
Look at the words we always talk about. God tells us to what? Reprove things, and if that doesn't work, to rebuke. It's an even stronger form. You know, all the things that he's told us in Scripture are active verbs. I looked them up, and there wasn't a passive verb in the place.
Go over to Jeremiah 1 and read verse 5.
Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Is a prophet unto the nations and a product of conception one of the same?
Yeah. I ordained thee a prophet. They were sanctified in the womb.
Right, so here... You know, what they call product of conception. Today, I was ashamed. I was ashamed of Sean Hannity for using the term termination of a pregnancy. He used, I was ashamed of him. If I'd have been within what I could have talked to him. See, that's their terminology. God's word, the Bible calls it murdering of a child, murdering of a baby, okay? And see, you know, if you'll better yourself if you have more honor and integrity to stand up and say it the way it is. And I get so sick of these panty waists that don't have the courage to use the correct terminology. It's murder. Killing a child is murder. And so...
Yeah, because there's no way, you know, there's killing and murder. Killing is when you are in war or you're fighting somebody that's trying to harm you. Murder is when you are purposely taking a life, and it's usually somebody who is not prepared, or you're snuck up on them, or you're taking them by stealth or surprise, and or they are an innocent, you know, incapable of defending themselves. And who is less capable of defending themselves than a child in the womb?
Now, God has a lot to say about these women. I've been watching, and I'm going to get to them in a minute here, what's been taking place there at the Supreme Court. But here's what he says about these women that kill their children. In Jeremiah chapter 2, read verses 20 through 24.
20 through 24, Jeremiah 2.
23 and 24, I'm sorry.
23 and 24, all right. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways, a wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth the wind at her pleasure, at her occasion. Who can turn her away?
All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her.
He's talking about these women that offer up and kill their children, those that go on a whoring after Balaam. And he compares them to wild jackasses in heat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now go down and read me verse 34.
Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these.
Okay, now, what do you think he means when he says, I have not found it by secret search? Secret search is what?
Something that's hidden. I had to go seeking for it. This is out in the open. The blood is apparent.
He's referring to looking upon their hearts. God says he searches the hearts. He didn't have to look upon their hearts, okay? In other words, to see what they think, or he knew what they did. Their very actions condemned them. Their very actions, that their skirts were filled with the blood of the innocent. And now he goes over in chapter 3, and he says, lift up thine eyes into the high places, and see where thou hast not been lean with in the ways thou hast set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness. Thou hast polluted thy land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. In other words, these women, okay, are shameless. These are horrible hussies, and that's what we're gonna have. What we have today. Turn over. I'll just read this myself. Jeremiah 7 verse 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal? You murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal. So there you go. Here. He's condemning these. Now, what you saw happen...
Baal was the god they sacrificed the children to.
Right. Now, you remember what we saw happen in 2017, what they called the Women's March, was one of the filthiest things I've ever seen, one of the very filthiest things that I've ever seen in Washington, D.C. These women, the Deathocratic feminists down there, they came and... on a cold 45-degree day out there, where the Muslim women were with them, dressed from head to foot, the Deathocratic women, many of them were topless. They went topless, and they were whorish, very, very whorish women, okay? Now, I want to praise the good Lord above for the women in the church that I pastor. And those ladies, so many of them tonight, they're listening to this radio program right tonight, all over this country, that send us letters, ladies, real ladies, decent and honorable and clean. Because those women and that woman's march were not decent. They were not honorable. They were as unclean gets.
As ungodly as possible.
Absolutely. And like I said, the things that that aggravated, they were wearing pussy caps. Caps that talk about, pussy, all of them. And then you had... these women were in vagina costumes. They were, see, that's where their heads at. Their heads were sticking out from the middle of these big pink costumes, and that tells you where their brains are at. That tells you right there what they think with. And but well, what got me,
they
Joe.
They don't want to be sexualized, and yet they were sexualizing themselves to the very basic, the very basis thing that they could do.
Well, what aggravated me the most. Was what they had, these 9 and 10-year-old boys and girls carrying the placards, and on there had the F word, you Trump, F you Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these kids screaming that word out. These wicked, ungodly whores, and that's what they are, these wicked, ungodly whores, were abusing these children. And so here and then, as we went down to the art museum, the women that worked there, and most of them were Deathocrats, but they were so ashamed, they come out and they said that these women that came in there for the Women's March, now, we had a lot more people than they did. We had a lot more, we had ladies, pro-life women, pro-life ladies, and they knew, they had the decency, if they had to go. They went, if they had to walk down the streets farther to find another place with a bathroom, they did that. They had,
and if they had to stand in line, they stood in line and waited.
But these women, they didn't. They disrespectful, dishonorable, vulgar. Their language, their vulgar, vulgar, vulgar language when they came out and they defecated on the steps and on the sidewalk right there.
Flooded in corners, doorways, all over. It was just incredible.
And this is what, in my opinion, what it means to be what they call Democrats or Deathocrats today. Just they have totally become just absolutely and completely abominable. Speaking of that, Chuckie Schumer. Chuckie Schumer was out today, and he was saying those that stand against a woman's right to kill her baby are an abomination. Chuckie Schumer, listen to me. Chuckie Schumer, you better listen, because I'm going to tell you what God's Word, the Bible, says. Chuckie Schumer, unless you repent, you little weasel, unless you repent, you cowardly little weasel, you're going to burn in hell, Chuckie Schumer. You're a wicked, evil, little cowardly, hypocritical man, Chuckie Schumer. And unless you repent of that, you're going to burn in hell, Chuckie. You're a coward, Chuckie. I'll bet you there's not a baby in the world you're afraid of. You'd fight any baby, wouldn't you, you cowardly? And this little beast, okay. Now, I know some prissy preachers there are saying, oh, Pastor Honey, you shouldn't call him names. Yeah, well, you know what? There's a fellow named Jesus. You may have heard of him. And he was very, very good at calling the wicked, okay? Whited sepulcher, whatever, okay? And so here, and Elizabeth Warren, that wicked...
Yes. Pocahontas, the make-believe Indian, the, you know, the line to get her degree in free college or, you know, get ahead, lied about her heritage. So start off, she's a liar.
Well, 2 days ago, she's the one that said that freedom of speech will destroy the democracy. Freedom of speech. This is a wicked, wicked woman, okay? And then here, I just wanted to say, you know, because of where we're at with this today. And of course, remember our infamous Hillary, where she said there's never a wrong reason for killing a baby. Never a wrong reason for killing a baby. And what did Chelsea say? Chelsea said abortion is good for the economy.
Economy.
The more of it, the better the economy. Hang tight. We'll be up against the break. We'll be right back after this.
I hear that train a-coming. It's coming around the bend. That train is called judgment, and it's here because of sin. You made the wrong decision. Yes, you rejected Christ. Now that train is arriving and it's a terrifying sight. There is no use in running. There is no place to go. Now you know you're hurt. You're reaping what you sow. You turned your back on Jesus. Didn't care why he died. But now you're really caring, just listen to you cry. Folks dying, it's happening near and far. They're waiting now for judgment, and their sins as black as tar. You know you had it coming. You know you can't be free. It's a horrible place to be in, such torment and misery. Thank you. Now call on the name of Jesus. Do it while there's time. He's your only hope now. You're at the end of the line. You may not see tomorrow. Your time is running out. Once you're in that hellfire, there ain't no getting out.
Boy, that guy can sing. Listen, I'm going to tell you, Chuck Schumer, you people, and you hussies from hell, you better pay close attention. It's repent or perish. Jesus said, listen, you know, God always does what he says. You're up against a foe you cannot defeat. God is going to win in the end. And all of you out there, if somehow you think that God is going to acquiesce to the political polls or to the, you know, he's not. He is not a God of political correctness. Well, actually, he is.
He doesn't take surveys, polls. He said, what? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will all learn that shortly.
And that wicked, evil woman has said, thank God for abortion. That wicked, evil woman, that tells you right there that she has become reprobate. That tells you right there that her, that's all you have to hear from her. And so these are wicked.
Looking at that picture, it's an abortion. Oh, by the way, there was these Olson instant rallies that were there at the Supreme Court, different places across the country. Somebody put out the word that they were going to send this Supreme Court, the decision, and these demonstrations were planned, staged, ready to go just as soon as this hit the news. They were there, and I'm looking at a picture, and some of the women are wearing school jackets, you know, the high school jackets, and they've got thank God for abortion on them. That's what Pastor Ernie's talking about. And that had to have been printed up ahead of time, and they were all had their signs and banners, so we know that this is a staged political action, right?
It is, absolutely. Look, the Democrats know that they cannot survive an honest election. Anything's even close to that. They understand what's happening, the mood of the people in this country. They know that the people are aware that the Biden crime cartel, they're trying to destroy America. They want to take away our freedoms of speech and eliminate the Constitution, what I've been telling you. They're getting ready for this, and they're ready to start burning down the cities. In other words, they want to give Obama Biden, this Antichrist, he is an Antichrist. They want to give him the ability to declare martial law. We're warning people right now of what they're up to. So this is why they leaked that out. This was done on purpose. Leak it out to try to activate the forces of evil, the dark forces, the forces of death. And so right now, and look, let me just tell you this. Here they just passed a couple days ago in Maryland. A wicked like New York, wicked in California, extremely ungodly, unwicked, whorish state legislator. Just unbelievable. They've gone a whoring with death. Now, here, Joe, they passed legislation that says that you can keep that to the baby's 28 days after the baby's born. 28 days after the baby's born. What they're going to do, they're going to take these babies and they'll find the worst ungodly Antichrist, satanic women, the worst, ugliest, evil women in the world, to get pregnant on purpose now. And they take these babies, and a whole live baby, they sell them to these animals in Planned Parenthood and these places. These are beasts. And they dissect these babies. They remove their organs alive. Okay? And that's the reality. And there's nobody, not one single person at NBC, ABC, CBS, or Fox News, not one person there, or CNN, not one person, not one single person at any of that has the guts, the decency, enough honor, enough integrity to stand up and tell that and to say what we just said here tonight. There is no journalist. They have no journalist at all. They've completely gone. They've become simply shock jocks And horse for the New World Order. And that's the reality. Well, and what they're doing...
They're also very afraid. It used to be everybody had their first baby pictures in the hospital. You know, they'd hold the baby up in the behind the glass, and they'd take pictures of the baby wrapped up, you know, with the old nurse holding the baby. Now, everybody has these ultrasounds. The first baby pictures are ultrasounds, and the ultrasounds show these marvelous little children sucking thumb, blowing bubbles, moving around, and all of a sudden the world started to realize these are babies. These are not just, you know, globs of flesh like the left would talk about, fetus instead of, here's this cute little baby sucking its thumb, and you can tell if it's a boy or a girl. And I remember watching one of the little boys, you know, just wiggling around, so cute. And all of a sudden, science is now showing the world, even if the left doesn't tries to hide it, that these are babies in there. And the doctors that have operated on them, on the preemies before they're born to save them, we now know these babies feel pain. We know they respond. And so with all the advances in science, the left is just desperate to keep abortion going, because as long as we're a society that allows our children, our future, our posterity to be killed, then everything else, every other sin they want, is going to be able to be allowed, because, well, once you kill your children, what else, you know, matters?
Right. Well, here, let me, you know, that, everything was built on a lie. There is nothing on the entire left, the Democratic Communist Party, there's nothing, there's not an ounce, not anything at all, nothing at all about it that has not been corrupted and not become dirty. Not anything in the entire Democratic Communist Collective Party that has not become dirty. Now, I'm going to say some imprecatory prayers, but even before I do that, I do wanted to say this, that my good friend Pastor Dave Nadel, for the National Day of Prayer, Prayer Breakfast, this coming Thursday at May 5th, this coming Thursday at 7 a.m., at the Jericho Center, 2878 Warren Meadville Road in Cortland. It's $10 for the breakfast and to come in for prayer. Again, Dave Nadel for the National Day of Prayer. Dave's a longtime good friend of mine, a pastor out there at the Jericho Center. And at 2878 Warren Meadville Road in Cortland. And it starts at 7 a.m. for prayer. Now, also on that same day, this coming Thursday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church. Well, let me go back with Dave first. You can, for more information, you can text 330-883-6620. That's 330-883-6620. One more time, you can text 330-883-6620. I think if you can call that number if you don't know how to text. Now, also on Thursday, as every day, 52 weeks a year, on Thursday, well, I should say 51, we don't do it on Thanksgiving. We have prayer at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road. That's 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, right at the corner of Route 87 and Sperry. And that starts at 9 a.m. That starts at 9 a.m. And if you're going to come out, it would be good to call us and let us know so we would know how many to prepare for. And that number is 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367. And we would need to know by tomorrow. We would need to know if you're coming out there. And so now we go into prayer there. And we start at 9 in the morning, and we usually go right till noon. We usually go right till noon, and we hold up. And all of you folks out there that send us prayer requests, we have a stack of them a foot high, and we go through those prayer requests. We spread them out, and we pray for you because we believe in prayer. We know there's power in prayer. And with that, Joe, I'm going to pray some...
Before you do that... You're an extremist, according to Elizabeth Warren. she was out ranting and raving, you know, today, and she was mad, upset, and everything. And yet there was a crowd around her saying, Americans don't want the bodies of children to be dismembered. Extremists, Warren said, raising her voice. We've heard enough of the extremists, and we're tired of it. So I just hope that Elizabeth Warren might listen and get very, very tired, because I think we're just getting started, right?
Absolutely.
We are so, extremists. Amen.
Right. And so we see in the Bible where God will turn that back on the wicked, okay, what they want for others. You see, he will turn that back on them. Remember old Mordecai and the gallows that was built for him?
He was hung on the gallows he built for someone else.
No, not Mordecai, was it? It was
Haman. I'm sorry. Yeah, turned that around. Haman.
Yeah, but well, let's
hung
let's,
on his own gallows he built, had built.
So let's do this. Let's look at what God did for Shiphrah and Puah, those two women who saved the lives of the babies. They were employed by the government, and the government ordered them to kill the babies, like this wicked, evil, ungodly government that we have. And they didn't. They obeyed God rather than a wicked, evil, ungodly government, and God blessed them for that. Okay.
He protected them and blessed them.
Okay, so let's pray that he does like he did with Haman, that he would turn it around on the wicked. If they don't repent, let's do that. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just would pray that you would turn it around, that you would put it on this wicked, evil, cowardly little president that we have, who's not our president at all, who stole the election of Father God, Lord, that he's a pedophile, and there's not enough innocent blood running through the veins of these little babies to satisfy, to quench his thirst. So, Lord, what he wants for those children, for the unborn, Lord, I would ask that you would turn it around on him. Lest he repent, Lord, if he repent and do it public. If not, Lord, I would ask that you would turn it around on him. And the same thing for Elizabeth War. Same thing for all those hussies from hell there. Because when I saw what I saw, the vulgar language, you don't have to even be able to see him. You can be on the other side of a wall, and all you have to do is hear him talking, and you know if they're whores or not. And those vulgar, vulgar, whorish women, and those whoremongers that were with them today out in front of the Supreme Court. Lord, my prayer is that you bring those bloody people to repentance, or you remove them, that you remove them. They're harming the innocent out there, Lord God. They're wicked. They're ungodly. They're unclean. They're evil. And so my prayer is, Father God, you bring those bloody people to repentance, or you remove them, each and every one. And for these prissy preachers that say, well, Pastor Oney, you're such a mean man. Well, you know, Lord, provide pink bloomers for those little ladies, okay? Those little effeminate preachers. And I don't mean ladies, rather. I get so fed up with gutless, spineless, who should be courageous. The Bible said the righteous are as bold as lions. And I get so.
The apostles were unto death, weren't they?
They certainly were. They certainly were. And so, and again, here, Joe, go ahead. You had something you wanted to take on, so let's have it.
Well, I just remember clear back in 1965, before Roe v. Wade, just a second. I had to hit the cough button. You remember when they created the emanations of the penumbra, you know, they found this right to kill the unborn. They used big words and meant nothing. The judges,
Joe, do you know what that means, emanations of a penumbra, Joe? Do you know what that is?
I used to, but I don't remember.
Joe, emanations, Joe, are pulses, like pulses of light, like little pulses of light. Now, the penumbra is a time where it's at twilight, where it's in between dawn or light and dark.
Oh, it's a twilight. Between.
So somewhere in that penumbra out there, there was these little emanations of light popping around saying, kill a baby, kill a baby, kill a baby, you know. It's in the Constitution, you know.
Yeah, right.
That's a lie told by liars. And Joe, I'm absolutely convinced that every one of them, black and all of them that day, are burning in hell today.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Just prior to this, in 1965, Life magazine, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Came out and showed that life begins at conception. An unprecedented.
I still have that. I still have that. I still have it. Yep.
You better keep a hold of that. It's going to be a historical thing. They called it a unprecedented photographic feat that documented the stages of the growth of an unborn baby from fertilization to 28 weeks. And in dealing, the article said the birth of a human life really occurs at the moment the mother's egg cell is fertilized by one of the father's sperm cells. And science has repeated that and proven it and shown it. So these Supreme Court, they call themselves justice, they're supreme fools. They said, well, they weren't sure when life began. Well, Life magazine knew years before, about 8 years. And then we did this story back in 2016. It was April 27th. Science captures fireworks during the moment of conception. They have captured the moment a human sperm meets an egg on film and found there is a union, a firework show.
A spark. Yeah, we saw it.
A blast of white light.
Yep.
And this was at the Northwest University in Chicago. The brighter the fireworks, the healthier the embryo, the egg is. And we just, this is science has now proven, you know, this is murder of a child. There is no doubt anymore. And they just keep perpetuating the lie. And sometimes I wonder if some of these women aren't just in a total state of confusion. They've been lied to and coerced, and they just repeat the lie. But God is not the author of confusion. And if they went to a good Bible-believing church, they would surely know the difference, right?
Well, the answer to your question is found right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It tells you exactly why they're that way. It doesn't, like the rest of God's Word, the Bible, it doesn't stutter. It's, you know, it's very, very clear. The fact that we go over there.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians what?
Chapter 4.
4.
Verses 1 through 5.
Got it.
All right, go ahead and read it.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the very face of Jesus Christ.
There you go. So there you go. It's right there. It's because they're lost. And this is why they're doing that. But they're in denial. They're in denial. These are the people out there, these Democratic Communist Party people, that are going to come to the Lord. I mean, because you've got all of these apostate churches out there, United Church of the Antichrist and United Methodist, all of these, the Episcopal, all of these that are preaching sin. They, no matter what the sin is, whether it's abortion, pedophilia, sodomy, lesbianism, whatever it is, they try to justify this by taking and twisting God's word. And listen, God's paying close attention to this. He's paying very close attention to it. And, you know, what was the first thing he said? He said, repent or perish.
Exactly. Well, Psalm 106, I'm looking at 106. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions.
We need to ask the people to pray with us out there again. All of you folks out there listening, there is power in prayer. There is power in prayer. But you got to believe. If you believe that, and I'm going to pray that God would remove Joe Bob and Biden. He's destroying our nation. I'm going to pray that he would remove Chucky Schumer and Elizabeth Warren and Nancy Pelosi. These people are destroying our country. They're killing innocent children. They're wicked. They're evil. And so there's power. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of power in prayer. If you would join with me, if you would join with me, if God hears it, okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, America's hurt. America's bleeding. She's wounded. And Lord God, remember what you were willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 people, Lord. We're asking you to spare America by removing these wicked people, by removing Joe Obama Biden. He's a wicked man. He's an evil man, Lord God. That you would remove Elizabeth Warren and that wicked Chucky Schumer and Nasty Pelosi. These are evil people. And all of those, the entire Democratic Congress, Lord God, the hussies from hell, the entire wicked Congress, Lord, that you would remove them. Father God, Lord, that they're destroying our nation. And you've said, Lord, that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, hear the prayers of the people out there praying right now, Lord God, that America might be back to one nation under God. America would be great again because she would once again be good. She's become a bastard nation, Lord. And Father God, so many of us have fought our whole lives trying to bring it back, fought against the killing of the children, fought against the pedophilia, fought against all of the evil, the wickedness out there. Those in the public fool system that want to harm the children, Fauci and those that want to kill people, they want to, with the kill shots, the scamdemic. So again, we would ask that you would remove these wicked people, Lord. They refuse to repent. They refuse to repent. And Lord, that you would listen and hear the cries and the prayers of your people, Lord, that we might restore America and make America great again, because America was good, and put her back to one nation under God, the way that you gave her to us, Lord. Now these are the things, Lord, that we're asking out there. In the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, when you were saying that prayer,
I'll be right back with more. Don't go away, Joe.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.